This is Jay Sekulow. Saturday marks the 1 year imprisonment of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. We've got a lot to talk about on this broadcast today. We're going to start by talking about that this tomorrow marks the first year anniversary or the first year of imprisonment of Pastor Andrew Brunson, an American pastor from North Carolina who is incarcerated in Turkey. We're going to be joined by his sister, Lauren Brunson, in the next segment of the broadcast. So we're going to talk about what's going on with Turkey and this pastor who we've been seeking his release for. I've met with the President of the United States on this on multiple occasions. The President has directly asked and actually demanded the release of Andrew Brunson and has asked that directly of Erdogan, so the Prime Minister of Turkey. So that's ongoing right now. So with this case is at the highest level of the U.S. government. The Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, has been working on it. The Vice President has been working on it. And the President issuing very strong demands for his release. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the decertification potential on the Iran deal, what that's going to mean. We'll be doing that in the latter part of this first half hour. And then we're going to get into some other breaking news as well. But I want to start with Andrew Brunson. Jordan, give us a little bit of a background here on the pastor's plight, what he was doing, and then we'll get Than involved and Andy Economo as well.
Sure. So he's been a pastor in Turkey for 23 years, raised his family there, his children there, and had been there for, again, 23 years without any issues with the government there, no issues with any authorities, both at the local level or certainly not the national level in Turkey. And I think what his case underscores is the change in Turkey under the Erdogan government in the last few years, but even accelerated more since that so-called failed coup and the just continued arrest of anyone that could be considered a dissident. But again, just to explain, this is not a pastor who just showed up on the scene in Turkey in the last couple of years. This is someone who spent a good chunk of their life,
yep,
23 years ministering, getting to know local officials, the local community,
never had
not having any issues at all. And yep, then suddenly gets picked up and was initially going to be deported. And that's one thing. That's under the right of the government of Turkey. They can deport non-citizens. That would have been one issue. And then he was not let out of the deportation facility and then ultimately was transferred to a prison. Once in the prison, now is supposedly has charges levied against him that are very serious. No real access to attorneys because there is no attorney-client privilege. Turkey is in a quote, state of emergency. So you take all the laws, yep, and throw them out the window.
So, Andy, what is the situation in Turkey as of right now?
Well, as Jordan just alluded to, it's in a state of emergency, which I think follows upon what happened at the Atatürk Havalimanı or airport and the ISIS bombing and terrorist action there. But Erdogan, the president of the republic, has been given these sweeping presidential powers now, and he's virtually a dictator in Turkey. What he says goes. And I don't think it's I think it would be naive of us to presume that Turkey is a constitutional republic that we think it is. It is a NATO ally, to be sure, but Turkey is not. This is a political case. This is not a legal case. We have to look at it as a political case with respect to Pastor Brunson. No formal charges have yet been filed against him, but the allegations now are being made that he conspired to overthrow the constitutional government and the yep, government of the
Nonsense.
Which is nonsense.
Ben, we've also had work on this on Capitol Hill. Give us a quick update on that.
Really, the involvement on the part of the U.S. government, Jay, has been unprecedented. You mentioned the president, vice president, secretary of state, but look, the chairman and ranking member of both the relevant committees in the House and the Senate, dozens and dozens of members and senators have spoken out about it. Jay, the U.S. participation on this has been rock solid. He needs to come home.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Logan, we're going to take calls on this, calls on Iran. Let people know how they can engage.
That's right. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's right, 1-800-684-3110. Lines just opened up, so this is a perfect time to call. You can also join us on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting live right now.
All right, we'll take those calls at 800-684-3110. We're going to be joined by Lauren Brunson. We come back from the break.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Tomorrow marks the 1 year of imprisonment of American pastor Andrew Brunson. He had a church operating in Turkey for years, 23 years, without any problems. He gets picked up after the coup on trumped-up charges and has become basically a political hostage. The Turkey is a NATO ally. They're not supposed to be acting this way. I have had the privilege of representing the family, as our ACLJ has, and Pastor Brunson, and I have met on multiple occasions with the president on this, and the president has asked on multiple occasions, demanded the release of Andrew Brunson from directly to President Erdogan of Turkey. Joining us on the phone right now is Lauren Brunson. This is the sister of Andrew. Lauren, thank you for being with us today as we mark the 1 year imprisonment of your brother.
Well, thank you for having me.
Can you tell everybody, Lauren, what Andrew has been, what his ministry calling was and what he was doing in Turkey for so many years?
Andrew is a pastor, and he has been leading Christian church during the 23 years that he's been there. And so he's had a heart for missions, a heart for people his entire life. And so he grew up as a missionary kid. And this is something that's played out through his entire life.
And he operated there, the church operated for decades without any problems, right? I mean, describe the kind of the nature of what the church was like.
Well, he'd been there for, again, 23 years, and it's more of a charismatic type church. In Turkey, there are very few Christians. And so there were always some difficulties, but nothing of this nature. It was a small congregation.
Yep.
And I believe the numbers were in the 30s and 40s. And they would do baptisms. They would have worship time. They would have preaching. But, you know, nothing extreme at all.
Yeah. Well, here's the situation. And Jordan, we've talked about this. We've handled a lot of these cases over the years, and it unfortunately does take time. The difference here, as Andy just said, is Turkey, of course, is a NATO ally.
That's
and,
right.
And this is a NATO ally, and the president has demanded a release of an American being held by a NATO ally.
Yeah, so it's a totally different situation than things we may see when we're dealing with an Iran or a North Korea type country, a Sudan. This is not that situation should not be like that situation because of Turkey's membership in NATO, its allegiance with the United States on a military level, security level. Obviously, it plays an important role in that region of the world. Our assistance, and when I say our, I mean the U.S. assistance to Turkey plays an important part in the stabilization of that government. But what we've seen is just a clampdown, a change in Turkey, certainly in the last few years. And Erdogan, since he came to power, has been slowly and then more rapidly changing the entire culture, really, of Turkey. And it, what it appears is that Pastor Brunson, after spending 23 years there, as sisters talked about, 23 years, small Christian community, so small, in fact, that poses no issue really to anyone, right, other than the fact that some Muslims don't like Christians at all. But of all the predominantly Islamic countries, this would probably be one of the more safe places to be as any kind of Christian denomination. And yet he gets caught up in this nationwide Turkish crackdown on anyone who is basically not walking the line of the Erdogan government, which means if you were a Christian, you would be considered, you know, someone not, yep, walking that line.
All right, so Lauren, your brother had a heart for Turkey for a long time, though, right?
He did, and we were absolutely shocked when almost a year ago we received this email from him that he sent while sitting in the jail waiting for when they had first gone in, and just letting us know that they had been detained, that they were going to be arrested, that they had no idea what was going on, that they had no clue if anyone was even getting this message. And I just remember just the absolute horror when we read this, and even trying to contact the consulate, even trying to reach anyone to see where they were. We had no idea even what prison they were in,
yeah,
where they were being held. And then to not be able to communicate for the first 13 days, it was an absolute nightmare. And Turkey is one of the most beautiful countries that I've ever been to, geographically, topographically. It's just a beautiful place. The culture was always amazing, and I loved visiting there. And I never would have believed that this ever could have happened.
So, Andy, obviously, he's Andrew Brunson at this point, in our view, is being held as a political prisoner.
That's exactly what he is. This is a political incarceration with a NATO ally that is absolutely unjustifiable, and nothing can justify what is happening. The president of Turkey right now has the absolute power, without consulting anybody, to release Pastor Brunson under the plenary emergency powers that have been given to him. He doesn't have to go through his General Assembly. He doesn't have to go through any department of government. He can do it if he wants to. And President Trump has demanded that and has asked that on multiple occasions.
I was with the president last week on that. He was very, I mean, he brought it up. He's bringing it up directly to Erdogan. Yeah, Erdogan's playing tough because Turkey, you know, isn't, like you say, it's not the Turkey of Ataturk right now.
Not the Turkey. You know, Ataturk started this republic that was not going to be an Islamic republic. It was going to be purely secular. They were wearing business suits. He changed the alphabet from the Arabic characters to Western to Latin characters. He banned the wearing of the fez. He changed the entire, or attempted to change the entire contours of the country from what it was under yep, the sultans. But now, what are we doing? 70 years later, the Turkish Republic is back to being the Turkish Caliphate.
All right, so we also got our head of government affairs, because we're doing this globally. We have our offices in Strasbourg, France, have been engaged on behalf of Andrew Brunson. Our offices, our team in New York at the UN, so both New York and in Brussels and at the United Nations, all that going on simultaneously. Than, give an update on what Congress, I mean, we've Senator Lankford and others have been very vocal in support of Andrew Brunson.
All around the globe, and actually Pastor Brunson's family, including Lauren, came to Capitol Hill and visited with a number of those senators. Senator Lankford was among them, Chairman Corker, Senator Graham's office, and others. And Jay, the most recent thing we're doing, you saw the letter from Senator Lankford just yesterday reminding the president, President Erdogan, that he himself decreed this power that Andy just talked about. So he can't hide behind the judiciary here. And we want him to know that all of the United States government is well aware that he alone is responsible for the detention of Pastor Brunson. Yep. So just yesterday, Capitol Hill was engaged on that. Of course, President Trump has led the way, but Capitol Hill's right behind him on it.
Lauren, let me just tell you this from all of us here at the ACLJ to your family, and I know that CeCe Heil, our senior counsel that's been handling the day-to-day on this case, that we've raised this, as you know, at the highest levels. I mean, I've had direct conversations with the President of the United States on this on multiple occasions. I've talked with the Vice President, and they've been very aggressive in seeking Andrew Brunson's release. Having said that, we don't stop for a moment praying for his release and working for that as the President and Vice President and Secretary Tillerson continuing to make efforts. So know, Lauren, from all of us that as we mark this 1 year of incarceration for your brother, who did nothing wrong, was a pastor, a Christian pastor in Turkey, that all of us at the ACLJ and our assets and resources around the globe are working to secure his release. So please know that, and please share that with your family.
Thank you so much, and I want to thank everyone who has worked so tirelessly on Andrew's behalf.
We will not stop working until we see his release. Lauren Brunson, sister of Andrew Brunson, the pastor who's in jail 1 year in Turkey. Why? Because he's a Christian. Lauren, thanks for taking time for being with us today. You know, I want to say this. As I said, I met with the president on this. We've discussed this at length. The president's very, very direct with Erdogan, but this is a complicated political situation, both because of the NATO ally, which should make it easier, but there's a lot of issues at play here as they try to turn Andrew Brunson, basically Jordan, into a political hostage.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm talking about, of course, the Turks.
Yeah, the Turkish government has, it's been widely reported, you know, the high-level trades of individuals who are in the United States that are a lot more influential than, as his sister said, a 30 or 40-member congregation. People that have got billions in assets here in our country and in Turkey and followers, and they want trades on individuals like that. So there's been this attempt inside Turkey to elevate this Christian pastor to act as if he had influence that, you know, unfortunately, but we could say as a Christian pastor there in Turkey in a predominantly Muslim country, he did not have. And trying to equate him with people who Turkey does not like, who live in the United States, who would like to see them back in Turkey, trying to equate him to those kind of individuals, it's not just a stretch. I mean, it's not even apples to oranges, because those are about the similar shape and size. It's just shows you the extent that a leader like Erdogan is now going to please radical elements that have taken hold inside Turkey and their government.
We have been aggressively fighting for Pastor Brunson's release for almost a year now. We've taken his case to the highest levels of the U.S. government, talked with the President of the United States, Vice President, Secretary Tillerson. We've gone to the United Nations. More than 350,000 of you have signed signatures from 194 countries and territories have joined this cause to see the freedom for Pastor Brunson. Sign that petition. You could do that at aclj.org. We have an email going on out that today, so we encourage you to do that at aclj.org. Back with your calls as we change topics coming up.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
And by the way, the president today issued a rule Friday that sharply limits the Affordable Care Act's contraceptive coverage. This is the abortifacient mandate that now is being removed off of public and private employers. So that's a positive development on the a portion of the Affordable Care Act that has generated with HHS a lot of a tremendous amount, actually, of litigation. So some good news on that front. All right, we're going to switch topics. We were talking about Pastor Andrew Brunson. We're now going to stay in the region, but we're going to talk about Iran, and that is because the president is prepared to make a statement in the next several days on whether he will certify whether Iran is in compliance with the nuclear deal, the so-called joint comprehensive plan of action. But I think it's important to get this, and we want your comments on this. What do you think the president should do? 1-800-684-3110. Let me first go to Jordan on this. We have opposed the Iran deal from the moment it started. And we had, and that included the fact that we even had a client of ours was being held captive in Iran. Again, almost like the Brunson situation. But we opposed it from the outset. We thought this was a bad move.
That's right. And like those who have joined us in that opposition, we were concerned, one, that it was not an actually binding deal, so no one signed on to this deal. As much as they talk about, oh, it's such a big deal if the president pulls out of this, you mean to a piece of paper that no one has signed on to? You're not going to find like anybody from the UK's government next to a signature of the Iranians. It's a plan of agreement, of cooperation on bullet points, hastily put together by countries in the world, some whose leaders are no longer there anymore in the Western world, who you would usually not want leading the charge in kind of nuclear negotiations. And it only lasts for 10 years. Well, it used to be that, hey, we would say, we're 10 years away from nuclear Iran. Realize now, because the deal expires, the deal's been going for 2 years. We're less than a decade away from a nuclear Iran. We're 8 years away from a deal that is currently authorizes Iran to go fully nuclear in just a matter of 8 years. That is not a long time on the world stage. That's not a long time for the Iranians. So it was a bad deal from the beginning. The Israelis opposed it. Many inside the U.S. opposed it. It was hastily done by the United States.
Allies in the Middle East opposed it. The Gulf states, Saudi Arabia.
And the actual allies we have in the Muslim world, we're all opposed to this because of the threat that a nuclear Iran would pose, a potential arms race in the Middle East. To think about that, do we need an arms race in that region of the world right now? The answer is no. So there are a couple of ways that a president's decertification would impact, the deal. I mean, there literally is just, it's bullet points.
Yep.
And no one actually signed it.
So every 90 days, the U.S. president must certify to Congress that Iran is keeping up its end of the deal. If the president does not certify the agreement to Congress, Congress has a statutory 60-day period to decide whether to reimpose sanctions. So, Harry, what's the impact of sanctions being imposed on a country like Iran?
Well, Jay, that's a very good question, and the answer is somewhat complex, in part because the sanctions imposed upon Iran are basically twofold: primary sanctions from the U.S. and secondary sanctions. The United States has essentially lifted secondary sanctions. Primary sanctions remain in place, except with respect to commercial licensing of aircraft,
right,
pistachios, carpets, foodstuffs, and a few other things. However, the Iranian deal, as I understand it, has fueled, if not accelerated, Iran's capability to become a nuclear state because it has received so much money as part of the deal.
Yeah.
And yet,
$1.5 billion from the U.S. initially.
The rules of engagement, if you will, do not require validation by external forces.
Yeah.
So sanctions were put in place, at least initially, to slow down Iran's capability. Most of those sanctions have been lifted by the so-called P5 countries plus Germany. They include China, Russia, the United States, the United Kingdom, and one other country. And so it's very possible that this deal actually accelerates Iran's nuclear capability.
Now, if Congress does impose sanctions, that becomes grounds for Iran to leave the nuclear deal, Fan. What will Congress do? And as Jordan said, I don't think there's a nuclear deal to be going away from, quite frankly. I think the whole thing's a farce, and we'll get into some of the litigation we've got on that. But go ahead. What do you think, Fan?
Well, so if Iran voluntarily removes itself from the non-deal, what have we lost? I would say nothing. I think Jordan described it accurately. We're 2 years closer to a fully nuclear Iran, even if they comply with the terms of this non-deal. Look, again, I want to say this again, Jay. The president doesn't have any choice but to do this, in my view. How can he possibly go to Congress again and certify that they are complying when he doesn't? So there's going to be some critics out there that are saying this doesn't go far enough. No, this is absolutely what he is required to do. And saying that they are not complying with the deal, Jay, it's the first step. There's going to be more steps after that one, but this is the correct first one.
So complying with the deal is supposed to mean that Iran is to reduce uranium stockpiles, limit enrichment, and also limit research and development to purely civilian power-generating purposes, and openly and transparently report and comply with the IAEA inspectors who monitor the deal. The IAEA, by the way, is always saying that they're never in compliance. I mean, this is like an ongoing... It's serious, but it's almost, if it wasn't so serious, it would be comical that the IAEA is going to get some kind of response here. Logan, what are we seeing on social media? Sure. Again, we want your calls at 1-800-684-3110. You want to see this certified? Do you want to see the president step up on this and say, nope, not certifying that they're in compliance? And what we want your reaction to that, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Tim on Facebook said it seems that the deal with Iran shouldn't have even been considered to begin with because it seems to only benefit Iran.
Andy, apparently... That, by the way, Tim's analysis, I think, is absolutely correct. Jordan said something that I'm going to have him underscore in a minute, and that is we're 8 years away from a nuclear Iran with this deal, and they're not complying now, which means it's probably 2 years away, if not already there.
You will have a nuclear Iran in 8 years under these circumstances. If this deal is not decertified by the president, you will have a nuclear Iran less than 8 years is my prediction, because that's exactly where they're headed, and they're laughing at us. And this deal needs to be decertified. I hope the president does this, even though I understand there's opposition, even from within the administration, who are not supporting our president in this when it's so transparently a bad deal.
We are going to, when I come back from the break, I'm going to play what the president has said about this, because he's hinted at where he's going to be, hasn't stated exactly where it's going to come out. But there's no question, Jordan, that this issue of Iran and the certification of this transaction is now front and center.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is, again, the president's made this front and center. He has not tried to do this and go about this process in a way that is not very direct, public, and maybe, I mean, if all of the news reports are correct, this will be the president really going against some of his advisors. Now, many of these advisors take a very, I will say this, from the military world, they take a very cautious approach to any change internationally. This president, on the other hand, has been someone who, like us, has opposed this deal from the beginning. Now, we've all tried to explain, I think, and we can try it if we have 40 seconds left before we go into our second half hour. But no one alone can just tear this deal up for the entire world. But what we can do is the most powerful and important country in the world, by walking away from it, like the president can do by decertifying it, is make all these businesses have to make the choice. Do you do business in the United States? Or do you do business with Iran and only the countries that have signed on to the deal?
And we have litigation involving the Iran deal right now with the State Department. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Logan's Lot, you know how you get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast.
Yeah, if you don't get on a local station, find us broadcasting live, ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope, or Twitter @JSeculo to continue listening and watching us online.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So a lot of news right now generating on whether the President of the United States, President Trump, is going to decertify the Iran deal, what is called the Iran deal, which is the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which basically, as Jordan said, it's just a bunch of bullet points. Here are how it works. Every 90 days under the legislation, U.S. President is to certify to Congress that Iran is keeping up with its end of the deal. If the President does not certify the agreement, Congress has a statutory 60-day period to decide whether to reimpose sanctions. If sanctions are reimposed, Iran can leave the deal. In sum, the deal, so-called deal, is supposed to be this. Iran is required to reduce uranium stockpiles, limit enrichment and research and development to purely civilian power-generating purposes, and openly and transparently report and comply with IAEA inspectors who monitor the deal. There is no real deal here, though. I want to be very clear on that. There's not really a deal here. I'm going to get into the litigation in a moment, but here's what the president said about when he was with military members of the military and their spouses just the other day.
We must not allow Iran to obtain nuclear weapons. The Iranian regime supports terrorism and exports violence, bloodshed, and chaos across the Middle East. That is why we must put an end to Iran's continued aggression and nuclear ambitions. They have not lived up to the spirit of their agreement, and we will be discussing that tonight.
So the president's being really direct on this. He's not said what he's going to do, but there's no question he is evaluating where his position is on this. And I think I am for decertification. I think personally that I didn't like the deal before. There was a lot of deception in the deal. We'll talk about that in the next segment of the broadcast when we look at the litigation that we've got going. But let's go ahead and take a phone call again. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to James calling on line one in Texas. James, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, James. Yes, sir. Taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I'm a military, you know, member. I served for 16 years, been in the Middle
Thank
East.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. And, you know, I've got relatives over there that have served, you know, and you know, they've had to dodge roadside bombs that, you know, Iran has helped,
yep.
You know, with technical and with, you know, with parts and all this. And, you know, I just don't understand anything about this. We give them money, and yet, you know, they won't even pay for my prescriptions, and I'm a disabled combat vet. You know, you've got a country that seasons our people out in the open water. You know, why didn't we take this $1.4 billion and give it to the families of the service member that are killed trying to rescue our hospital?
No, I'm with you, and I'll tell you this. What the Iranians did when they took our naval that naval ship that was in and basically try to humiliate the members of our Navy. And the Obama administration negotiated the release, but we did it in this kind of kowtowered way where we didn't really say, you know, hey, you're holding American military. You either release them or we're going to take, you know, direct action here to get them released. Instead, we played this 10-day game. And you're playing a game with the Iranians, but why should we be shocked? I'm holding in my hand right now a demand for a Freedom of Information Act request and the litigation that followed it up, because the whole Iran deal was sold on the basis that a more moderate regime was coming into power. Remember that? But James Rosen and Fox News found out that the negotiations were actually taking place when Ahmadinejad, Jordan, was in power. And by the way, not that the current president's moderate. They're not. But this whole theory of why we've got a moderate regime in there and Valerie Jarrett sold that whole thing was a total false statement. And we've got the litigation to prove it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we know that there is not, again, one, any extra stability with this agreement. All it does is really put Iran on a clear pathway to going nuclear. It gives them a framework. It says, don't upset the world too much under this 10-year plan. We're 2 years into it now. And then you can have a full nuclear program, and the world is not going to sanction you, And by the way, once you remove all those international sanctions, which the Obama administration always did, very tough to go back and get the entire world to stop doing business with a country that's yep. cash rich. And they're cash rich because of the United States.
How do you feel about Iran having a deal with the United States and other nations while they're funding Hezbollah and Hamas? Let us know what you think about that at 1-800-684-3110. And Logan will get comments coming in too. But 800-684-3110.
That's right. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110 to get your comments in on social media. Exclusive videos coming up in the break right now.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So the joint plan of action, the so-called Iran deal, we've got litigation on that because it was sold to the American people under false pretense. And the question is Iran living up to its obligations that they will reduce uranium stockpiles, limit enrichment and R&D to purely civilian power? But understand, under the joint plan of action, they get to have a nuclear weapon in now 8 years. Could you imagine Iran with a nuclear weapon by the Ayatollah? And now the president is contemplating decertifying that deal, and that raises a whole host of issues. And we're talking about that at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. We'll get everybody's response to it.
All right, Linda, Washington, line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I would like to see some truth coming out of Washington, D.C., and if indeed the Iranians are not being truthful, then we should not be recertifying anything with them. They're not trustworthy, and I just think that the president would be right in trying to. However, it's concerning as to what the Iranians might do, or the rest of the world for that matter.
Here's Mike's theory is that the Iranians are doing what they want to do anyways. I don't think that this is curtailing the Iranians one bit. That's number one. Number two, here's my question. Politically, Jordan, we know that this was sold to us under false pretenses. I'm holding in my hand the litigation that we have that's dealing with this. We know that this was sold to us under false pretense, that this was never their intent.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this again is not, one, it's not a forever plan. It's not like Iran said we won't have a nuclear program. It's not like Iran said we're going to pull away from this altogether if you release these sanctions. They're saying, even if you give them the best of the best of this reading of this plan, they're saying we won't move forward with a military nuclear plan for 10 years.
Yeah. So
if you release sanctions indefinitely.
Yeah, which is now
so
down to
forever
8 years.
On the sanctions, but 10 years on their nuclear program.
And they can have a nuclear weapon. So let me ask you this, then. What will be the reaction of the United States Congress if the president does not certify compliance?
I'm not exactly sure, Jay. I mean, I think they should reimpose sanctions and Iran would leave. But look, I would say this really quickly to Linda. She wants truth. I think that's exactly what you got from President Trump when he said they're not living up to the spirit of the deal. Because, again, remember, how would he possibly certify compliance when confirmation of compliance, who's it mainly up to? It's mainly up to Iran itself. So she got a dose of truth from President Trump. And now we'll have to deal with the reality that Iran is still very much a threat.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take another phone call, 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Let's go to Bill in Virginia on the line, too.
Hey, Bill, go ahead.
My question is it true that there are Iranian military bases that we and the IAEA are not permitted to inspect?
Yes, that is true. There are bases that are off limits because they're deemed to be purely for military. So it's almost like self-monitoring or self-compliance with in dealing with the Ayatollahs is generally not a very advisable maneuver. In any kind of capacity, Andy. I mean, first of all, you got to understand what we're dealing with Iran. You're talking about a theocracy that is export. They are the largest exporter of terrorism in the world.
I think we have to realize that it is a theocracy in the mentality of the Islamic State. I mean, and I don't mean ISIS, but I mean an Islamic State.
Well, in fact, they're in competition with ISIS because you got the
right.
ISIS, the Sunni, the Iranians are Shia. They want to be the caliphate.
Right. That's right. But the point of the matter is this is such an ill-conceived idea to begin with that we could have entered into an agreement that would give the Iranian government $1.5 billion in order to palliate them and to get them into compliance with something that it was obvious they were never going to do in the first place. The president has his pulse on a correct feeling with respect to this when he says that Iran supports terrorism, exports violence, bloodshed, and chaos. Why in the world would he not decertify this? I don't see any reason for him not to. The question is, as Stan pointed out, that we have a Congress that is gutless, that cannot move and is paralyzed. And what are they ultimately going to do in this 60-day period remains to be seen.
Well, this is the great problem. If the president decertifies it, then Harry, the Congress does nothing. Then what do you do?
Well, then the deal, as I understand it, essentially continues.
Right.
We should also keep in mind that the deal on its face was feckless from the start. And so we start with Iranian deception, which is complemented by the Obama administration's deception, and then it's further complemented by the U.S. Congress's fecklessness.
Yep.
And so it's very, very possible that eventually President Trump will have to act unilaterally in this matter.
Yeah, but under the joint plan of action, that's not so easy to do because it falls, even when you decertify it, it falls to Congress. All right, we're taking more calls, 1-800-684-3110. Got some good calls coming in. Let's go ahead and take another
Pat,
one.
Pat, San Jose, California, you're on the air.
Hey, Pat.
Hi. Yeah, hi. So I say decertify it, and until Iran becomes an ally of Israel, that, you know, hey, we could use the money for infrastructure here in the U.S. We could help Puerto Rico to bring it home. I live paycheck to paycheck. Every one of us out here working day to day.
Well, this is it's your money being utilized. And what was the final number there, Jordan? $1.5 billion was the initial.
Yeah,
least.
And that's what we know about. That also doesn't include what we've now allowed Iran to access internationally by opening their markets. I would say this is not one that is going to ultimately decide, you know, aid to a big difference in what's going back to Americans financially or to Puerto Rico. That's not why you make this decision. You make this decision because of the international implications of a nuclear Iran. And if you start getting into cost sense on either side, because listen, you could make the other argument, flip this around, and say, well, let's open our markets up to Iran, because you can make money off this, but are you willing to make money? We have decided as a country, there are certain countries we are not going to make money off of. So we are, we still can't do business with Iranians under even these current rules.
Right.
We don't do business with the North Koreans. And so there's a reason why we consider them enemies, even with these kind of deals. So I think that you don't even look at it from a purely financial viewpoint. It's the long-term implications this has on our nation's well-being and safety.
So Iran tells us which sites can be inspected, and we have to give them adequate notice on the next day we'll be coming to inspect, or the IAEA will be coming to inspect. And this again, shows you how false and fraudulent this whole notion of a deal is or was in the first place. So I think it would be very bold action, and I think it would be right for the president to say, you know what, I'm telling Congress I'm not certifying they're in compliance. The question will be, as Andy said, what will Congress do? Logan, you want to take a comment or a phone call? Either one. You take the pick.
Let's do a phone call because we got a couple here. Let's go to Bill, who's calling in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Online tune. Give us a call right now. We're going to take a lot of comments the rest of this segment and next. 1-800-684-3110. But Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, good day to all you gentlemen. Mr. Sekulo, I want to say that I agree with you in the fact that this money that was paid was also a ransom payment to get our hostages freed.
And they were hostages, yes.
Yes.
And we represented one of them, and the first thing that client told me, went, why did we pay for their release when we're in the United States of America?
Right.
And you're exactly right. And it was paid for with $1.5 billion flown in on a private aircraft at the time of the transition of releasing the hostages and the Iran deal being signed, Andy. So this was a bought-for exchange.
It was absolutely bought-for, and it was paid for by blood money is what I consider this, and we're still paying for this money. But this is something of the Obama administration, and they lied to the American public with respect to the timing of the deal.
Yep.
We know that because we have filed a lawsuit pursuant to the Freedom of Information Act. We're going to drill down into finding out exactly when this cockamamie deal was concocted by the Obama administration. President Trump is taking strong, decisive action. It remains to be seen whether the Congress, Harry very charitably called them feckless. I call the Congress gutless if they don't do what they're supposed to do in following the decertification, which I hope the president does.
All right. So here's one congressman that wants to say something. That is Congressman Adam Kinzinger from Illinois. Here's what he said.
Under the prior administration, really all they wanted to do was get some kind of a deal with Iran on nuclear weapons and call it a day. And we got that some kind of a deal. And then over the period of time, we've seen Iran grow in influence. They're in Syria. They're basically supplying Hezbollah. They're putting big threats against Israel. And they're meddling in Iraq and everywhere else in the Middle East because of this money from the deal.
So there you have it. So, Fan, this goes right back to you. I want you and you to quickly respond to this. You do not know if the president decertifies what the Republicans in the House and Senate will do. That's where we are
Here's why I don't know, Jay. When it was moving through the Congress and specifically the Senate, proactively moved to raise the threshold for confirming this deal. Remember, the Iranian Review Act raised it to a two-thirds level in the Senate to actually not approve the deal. So they helped President Obama get this through. That's why I'm not sure they will act if it gets kicked back to them. We're just going to have to see.
Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, this is...
What do you think?
Well, with our Congress, I mean, again, it's not a Republican-only issue. I think politically, you want to give President Trump and Republicans, though, if the Republicans are united, continued control and majority, have it be a Democrat only who are opposed to getting out of the Iranian nuclear deal. Let's run those ads in the next election cycle. And I think it doesn't matter what kind of state you're in. They suffer in the moderate states, and they're hurt even in their own blue states.
All right, Logan, we're here for the last segment. We'll take the calls and comments from everybody on the topics we've discussed.
We do have quite a few lines open. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard right now. Give us a call for the last segment of the week.
And we do have an email out on Pastor Andrew Brunson. If you haven't signed it, 350,000 of you have from 194 nations. We want to get that up even higher. ACLJ.org for that. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Last segment, we take your phone calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the Iran deal right now, and the president may decertify it. We don't know what the Congress will do. And what does that tell you? I mean, I think what Jordan said earlier is right. The Congress needs to take action here. If you're going to have this on party line votes, the Democrats are going to say, no, we think the Iran deal is great. Does anybody think this is a great deal for the United States of America? I mean, some of these congressmen are saying they think it is. But if you look at it, whatever this deal is, and it's not really a deal, do we think that's a good thing for the United States of America? We'll take your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. We got comments coming in as well.
Yeah, let's go to Raina, who's calling from Nashville, line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Raina.
Hello. No, this is not a good deal at all for anyone, not just the U.S. If the $1.5 billion has already been given to Iran through this pseudo deal, do we have any hope? Whether the president certifies or decertifies.
I think the president needs to, my view is that this should be decertified. That's my view. In my individual capacity here as chief counsel of the ACLJ, I think decertification is warranted. What that means is, Jordan, Congress then has to either do something or do nothing, and they live with those consequences of that. But the president has the clear authority to decertify if he so chooses.
Yeah, that's who he goes to first. And then it's up to Congress to effectively fully cancel the deal by imposing sanctions that would allow Iran to pull out of the deal. The question mark is, does Iran pull out of the deal because of U.S. sanctions when it has a deal with other countries? Do they make a new deal with these other countries? This is what happens when you throw together a problematic deal that you began working on with Ahmadinejad of Iran. And remember, the Obama administration, we now know, that goes back to, they were not waiting for Rouhani. They were not waiting for, quote, moderates to work with. They were working with one of the most radical presidents since the Islamic Revolution in Iran.
In 79.
It was Ahmadinejad himself.
Yeah, so I'm holding in my hand a copy of a federal lawsuit that we have filed against the State Department because the American people were told that this was because of the moderates coming into power, which was not true. This was done during Ahmadinejad. And our friend James Rosen from Fox News found that out, went to the editing, and saw that they edited out the dates upon which, when this took place, when the negotiation started. And Logan, they initially said that it was done for, what did they say? They called it a glitch.
A glitch, and it was impossible, like we stated many times before. It just couldn't.
Yeah, could not be a glitch. And the end result was they now, because of the information we've already received, Andy, we know it wasn't a glitch. We know an order, we don't know who issued the order, but we know an order came down to the video production department to edit that section out. We have the emails.
It was an unidentified, I believe.
Unidentified individual female.
Female caller.
Who contacted the person in the video department of the State Department, said, edit this out, and remembered being told because of a Fox News controversy.
Right. Well, the American people were lied to. It wasn't the first time that the Obama administration has lied to the American people. I mean, you know, this is just a repetition of the conduct that we saw for 8 years. But we are determined by filing that lawsuit to get the documents that show exactly when and who and what and where the details are of how this thing was concocted. And that's what it was. It was a concocted deal. It was not in the best interest of the United States then. It is not in the best interest of the United States now.
All right. So, Than, let me ask you this. Is there anyone within the Republican side in the House and Senate that would be leading the charge on the issue of returning sanctions?
Well, Senator Graham said he's in favor of those. This would have to go back to the Foreign Relations Committee. Chairman Corker is the chairman there. You know, he's about ready to retire. He has said he would take another look at this. But, Jay, again, ultimately, you've got to get a majority of the Senate. And that's why we're talking about this. It's been difficult to get a majority of the Senate on anything. But even in that state, Jay, the president has an obligation to certify compliance. He just cannot do it in this case.
No, I think he has the obligation. Yeah, I mean, if he feels like they have not lived up to their end of whatever this deal is, he should decertify it. And then Congress does or doesn't do what they do or do not do. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it's kind of how it is. You want to take another call?
Yeah, let's go to John in New Jersey online, too. You're on the air.
Hey, John, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, the question I have is, what does a country like Iran need to develop nuclear energy when they're like probably one of the top five countries in the world that produce petroleum? It makes a lot of sense for a country like Japan that doesn't have any petroleum, but you know, what do they need to
Jordan, this is the cover. I mean, this is their whole civilian nuclear program has one aim: a nuclear weaponized Iran. Right? I mean, there's not any.
Oh yes, I mean, in fact, the way that they've not allowed certain inspections of military sites under the nuclear deal. Which the fact that we give them that caveat, well, if it's a military site, we're not going to inspect it. I mean, what we're trying to prevent is a militarization of nuclear materials into a weapon, and we're not allowed to have any oversight at Iranian military bases, which include bases that have scientific centers. So yes, the end game is an Iran with a nuclear bomb, because if they have a nuclear bomb, they're like North Korea now. You have to deal with them a lot differently than you deal with them today. Today, Iran is a large country that funds terrorism at the number one level in the world, but ultimately could be taken out if needed without fear of a nuclear response at all. They have that nuclear response. They get a whole different treatment at the international level.
Harry, what's your view of that?
Well, Iran is in a difficult place. It's a Shiite country surrounded largely by Sunni Muslims. That's number one. Number two, Iran is a Persian nation surrounded by Arabs. And so many of those countries are hostile to Iran. In addition to which, Iran has the desire, deep desire, to fund terrorism, Hezbollah, Hamas. And it also has a deep desire to diminish the power of Israel within the region. So I think Jordan is absolutely correct. Iran does not need nuclear civilian power. It simply needs nuclear weapons in order to expand its influence in the region.
Which is
so
what they're
Iran
doing.
Has one aim and one aim only: to destabilize both the region and the world.
Yep.
And as part of its pursuit of its theocratic objectives.
Jay, grab another call.
All right, Mitch in Las Vegas on line three. You're on.
Hey, Mitch, go ahead.
Hello, guys. Thanks for doing what you do.
Thanks.
I have a question and a comment.
All right.
Does anyone know what our import from petroleum from Iran is? And my comment is, I believe that Trump has worked really hard to increase the DGP for us to be energy independent.
Well, we've had more outflow of our energy sold on the markets than we've imported for the first time, I think, in decades. I don't know if we buy anything directly.
I mean, there are ways that their unrefined oil could get into our market through like a Venezuela and a Citgo.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're talking unrefined petroleum that then goes
through.
We're
not buying direct from Iran.
No money goes from the U.S. to Iran for goods or services at all. The only money that has been transferred was money held by the U.S. that was unfrozen, that was technically Iranian because of their support for terrorism.
Yep.
We do not do transactions. But the other countries who are part of the deal do, in fact, do business transactions with a country that hangs people using cranes.
Right, right. Let's try to take Chuck. Chuck, we got 30 seconds. Go ahead. You've been holding.
Let's look at previous agreements with similar states. George H. Bush with nuclear disarmament. We got rid of nuclear torpedoes, nuclear surface-to-air. They didn't. They still have them. We don't. It's similar.
I think this is the problem when you're dealing with these regimes. We try to argue and comply in good faith. They don't. We'll see what the president does. Have a great weekend. Those of you that want to get more information, Logan, tell everybody what they can do.
Yeah, you can find everything at ACLJ.org, but download the ACLJ app available in the App Store. On social media, you can also find us on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter at JaySeculo, at Jordan Seculo, at Logan Seculo, at ACLJ, and again, ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.